but you don't have many fathers. Those people who care for you with a pastoral heart, amen, like a father would for his children, amen, in the faith. We get fathers, we get mothers, we get sisters, we get brothers, amen. And the hundred, what about the house land thing? Well, you know, I've looked at that because these guys forsook all to follow Jesus, and I don't read anywhere where they became the rich and regal of the earth, amen. Do you read that anywhere in your Bible? I can't find it in my Bible. Amen. You know why I can't find it in my Bible? Because it's not there in the Bible. Can you say amen? Well, what did they get? You know, there is a fulfillment. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. The only way you can equate blessing is in the material sense until you begin to know what eternal things are worth. Can you say amen? And the value of eternal things. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. In other words, what he's saying is there's nothing in terms of houses and lands that I could ever acquire, amen, here, that could take the place of the joy of leading this woman to God right here at Jacob's well. Can you say amen? This is 100-fold better than all the houses and lands you could acquire living selfishly and self-serving. It's not that he won't bless you with a house and bless you with some land, but he says the kingdom is not meat and drink. It doesn't come with observation. It has nothing to do with the material, temporal world. Everything to do with the eternal, spiritual realm. And what I'm going to give you for giving up some temporal stuff is some eternal stuff that's 100-fold all of this other stuff. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! And that's better than just the cash in your hand or the cement and stone. This is eternal, everlasting. Katrina comes along and floods the houses. Right now there are entire farms in Iowa that are in water up to the top of the barns, and the crops are ruined and the corn is ruined and people's lives are ruined. Amen. That means nothing right now. But, oh, God is still God and God is still on the throne and his blessing is eternal. Hallelujah. All of this is going to pass away anywho. But what we have in the heavens is called an inheritance that is everlasting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just thought I'd run that by you because I've known some great Christian people that never became the wealthy and the opulent of this world. But just wait till they get home. Didn't you say, man? Their treasure's been laid up where the thief can't steal it. The IRS can't tax it. Amen. Hallelujah. And the moth can't corrupt it. Let's sing this song. We're not going to. All right, all right. We're all right. Okay, thank you for singing very well tonight. We bookcase. They'll be singing at the end as well. Do you have that disc I gave you this morning? We will probably do number 2 off of that to begin our closing worship this evening. Praise God. Thank you for coming back tonight. It's been a rainy day, but it seems that in between the services, the rains have missed us. So you didn't get rained on coming. You didn't get rained on going this morning, and we pray tonight, same situation will prevail. Amen. There are people, the Manatee River is at a flood stage, and they're having to watch the waters very, very closely right now. A lot of people living near flood zones that are, we need the rain, but they need a respite from it tonight as well. We're blessed to be right where we are. Although I told Doug, if about 2 more rains, we can baptize in the front yard. But God has been good thus far. We have been good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, once again, I want to continue this study on true worship because it's such an important, vital study. Because so much, you know, if you get your worship right, you got to get your life right. And if you get your life right, everything else is going to get right. Amen. And this all works together to posture us for God's blessing in our life. Amen. To bring us into that place that God wants to bring us into so that he can truly bless us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to read a statement about worship before we read John 4:19-24. I wouldn't even read that, but someone may hear the tape and don't know where we're coming from. And we need to... qualify this statement. I will read the scripture first. John 4, verse 19 through 24. The woman, this is the woman at the well that Jesus had blessed so abundantly. And she said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saying to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. Here's that term again. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And here's the imperative of worship. They that worship Him must worship Him. This is not just for a certain class of Christian people, a particular denomination. They that worship Him at all, imperative, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means any other worship is unacceptable to God. Can we agree on that tonight? This is a spiritual imperative. Now here's what someone has said, and I believe I agree with it. There's something in us, something spiritual, something innate, something that God created you with, which cries out to worship the Creator. The world will pervert it if it can, but the void of our heart will never be filled until we become true worshipers. How many can amen that tonight? Just going to church is not enough unless we have an authentic relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so this writer says, I want to be, and I love this because he said, I want to be a true worshiper. I want to move out of my selfish awareness of my wants. Hello? So much of preaching today is to try to address my wants. It's all about me getting what I need, which really most of the time is not what I really need. It's what I want and think I need from God. There's a prison house called the prison of want, and God wants to deliver every one of us from it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not just because that He provides for me the green pasture and the clear water, but because He's my shepherd king. Can you say amen? He becomes what I need. And He takes care of all the peripheral of my life. Amen. Into the spiritual realm of God's presence. I want to worship Him and I want to be changed by that experience. True worship liberates us and changes us. True worship brings us closer to the one whose image we bear. In true worship, the concrete floor beneath our feet truly becomes holy ground. How many know that bush geographically, where it was located, is not where it was, what made it holy? It was God's presence on the bush that made that mountain holy. That's why Jesus said, you know, it's not just that mountain anymore, and it's not just the holy city anymore. True worshipers are going to worship wherever they come to me in spirit and in truth. I'm going to manifest myself there. There's where the holy ground's going to be. That meant this morning, this little building on this piece of property and this concrete floor became as holy by the presence of God being with us and manifesting, amen, as that burning bush that Moses was standing by. Isn't that incredible today? God was here this morning. In fact, God is here tonight, praise God. And if we worship Him, He'll manifest Himself. And where God manifests becomes what? Sanctified by His presence, holy ground. Things can happen on holy ground. I've read of evangelists that were really, really sincere and wanting to see souls saved, and not just wanting to become popular or famous, but had a heart to see people set free and delivered, and miracles attended their ministry. And I have heard when they would put up a gospel tent in a foreign nation, particularly one incident in India, that as they gathered for the service, the sick were healed. Why? Because God was manifesting Himself and the ground was holy ground because of the presence of God. And when they encountered the presence of God, something supernatural took place. That is incredible to me. Most of the great healing ministries are not, however, by the laying on of hands. That's really something more for the church to practice when we call the elders. But when the gospel was preached and God manifested Himself, the miracles took place in the audience as the gospel was preached. And it was incredible because you couldn't point to a person with an anointing, but to a God who is manifesting Himself. Can you say amen? And it became the greater revival, the more lasting revival, because when the evangelists left, the presence of God that had been encountered was still working and moving in the hearts of those recipients. Amen? So the revival didn't stop when the anointed person left. Amen. It wasn't all contained in that person. That's real important. Let me read this. This is a truth that I really enjoy. Worship as a means of grace means that we make space in our lives for the work of the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit. Worship was never meant to be an end in itself. Worship that is done in spirit and in truth does not end with the benediction. I love that. Doesn't stop when the service is over. Worship didn't stop when we left this building today if we were authentic worshipers. Yeah. Worship is something that continues into your life. How I work tomorrow will be part of my worship of God. Do you realize that? Amen. My job tomorrow is going to be incorporated into my worship of God. My testimony, my witness, it's all part of worship of the Lord. I'm going to show His worth, amen, by living by a different standard than the world about me tomorrow. And in showing His worthship, I am worshiping Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. True worship motivates the person of faith to leave their lives every day, their everyday lives, and to live their life now as an act of worship to God. That is what God is interested in. In fact, God has told His people that He would rather them not worship Him at all than to worship Him falsely. He wants it in spirit. He wants it in truth. Amen? Hallelujah. In fact, He said, there's no other way that I will accept it. And then another statement made that God is not so much concerned with the act of worship itself as He is with the heart and actions of those worshiping Him. True worship does not change God, but it does change the heart of the worshiper. Praise the Lord. Amen. So much is put on the right way to worship. And I mean, you know, some churches want you to be demonstrative. Some want you to not be demonstrative. Some want to have more of a formal service, and some want to have a kind of a spiritual free-for-all. Amen. And we put the emphasis on the form that we're worshiping instead of the heart and the life. Worship involves the life. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Every scholar of that scripture will interpret that phrase as which is your true spiritual worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Your true spiritual worship. Whatever we do in here has no value to God if there's not something lining up in our daily life. That's why the term worship service is one of the most misused. It's like revival. You know, we're going to have a speaker, and so we put up a sign that says Revival, January 20th through January 25th. That means we're going to have a guest speaker, and for 5 days we're going to have church services. Revival is not 5 days with a guest speaker, that after the guest speaker leaves, everything is business as usual. That is not revival. But that's all some people know of revival. Revival is when you have a guest speaker or a missionary or an evangelist come. Amen? And speak for several days. That's revival. That's not revival. Revival changes everything in your life. And your values change. In fact, you get spiritually refreshed and spiritually energized. You redevote your heart. You rekindle the first love. It lasts after the meeting is over. Amen. Because what God has begun in you is not over when church is over. Hallelujah. It goes out into your life. That's why so many people come to Christ during a true revival in the church, because we go to our job and there's something different about us because we are now glowing for Jesus. Amen. Yeah. City that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. That's authentic Christianity. But God must be worshipped in our daily life, not just at church. We live our life showing His worth. Everybody say, we live our life showing His worth. That's worship. Worthship. Amen? Hallelujah. So, I like this verse of Scripture. In Amos 5, 21 through 24, this is false worship. And this is what God says about false worship. I hate, I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. I want that incense that you're burning. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. The offerings you offer, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. See, when it's right, everything is requalified as spiritual before the Lord, and it becomes what to Him? A sweet-smelling savor. God says, I love that. That's real. That's genuine. That's from a heart that is truly devoted to me. And I'm not talking about sinlessly perfect. I'm talking about perfectly committed to the worth of God, to putting a value on Jesus Christ. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again tonight. I don't know the Jesus that is not worth challenging Christians to give their all for and to. I don't know the lesser Jesus. I only know the one who's worth everything. He's worth the house. He's worth the land. He's worth, amen, if you're ostracized from your family. He's going to give you 100-fold in this life, all of those things. In what? In spiritual fulfillment. In relationships that are not part of the value system of the world. Hallelujah. I mean, for heaven's sakes, when will we understand the kingdom of God is not meat and drink? It's not something for your self-gratification according to the flesh. There's something better than gratifying your flesh, and that is being spiritually satisfied in Jesus and being fulfilled by manifestation of God in your life. There's nothing like that in all of the world. Amen? Church has to be more than just gaining more of what the world is going after. Amen. It has to be more than a place to get what they think is going to make them happy, and clearly doesn't. Amen. There has to be an encounter with God that satisfies. Yes. The deepest longings of your soul and heart. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but Jesus said, let me tell you what it is. It's righteousness. And because you have that right standing with God, it's peace that passes understanding. And because you have peace with God and the peace of God reigning in your heart, you have a relationship with God that now you can fellowship Him. So it's joy, the joy of that relationship. Amen. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. What price peace. Joy is different from that temporary high when you get a new watch or a new car or a windfall somewhere. Joy outlasts storms. In fact, joy exists in the midst of storms. Praise God. For the joy that was set before Him, Jesus was on His way to a cross, but He looked beyond the cross and knew the joy cometh in the morning. Amen. And it gave Him the strength to endure the cross, despising the shame. For what? For the joy. Everybody say, for the joy. For the joy that was set before Him. Amen? Wow. I don't know how we got it so messed up, because it's so clear to me. I wonder if I'm the if other people, I know there's other people that see this, but I'm amazed at how many blind preachers we have today. That have listened to a preacher that they highly respected enough to blind them to the rest of the truth of Scripture and get one man or one woman's perspective on the Bible and what it is teaching, what it is saying. Some will admit it openly. Their entire ministry began listening to one person that they considered a man or woman of God. And they spent hours fasting and listening to tapes. And that's where they got their perspective of what the Bible is talking about. Honey, you don't get it from just listening to one preacher preach. The Bible, because if that preacher has got a wrong perspective, you're going to be a rubber stamp of him. You're going to parrot what he says instead of finding out the revelation of God in the Word of God. Can you say amen? And it's so easy when you see how many people support certain ministries to fall into the trap of following their pattern because it seems to be creating success. But now, after years of this thing, there's a realization coming that there are a lot of people that go to church on Sunday that don't follow Jesus Christ when they walk out through the doors of the church. And the commission of the Lord was not just get people in church and not even just try to get them to heaven, but make disciples unto me out of all nations. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe and to do everything that I command you. That's the New Testament. Jesus is Lord. He's not to be anything less than Lord. Preached or proclaimed anything less than Lord. He's never Savior and Lord. He's always Lord and Savior. I'm going to say something controversial, but I believe I can back it up with the Bible, or I wouldn't say it. The Bible is controversial, you know. If you have a problem with Jesus being your Lord, He can never be your Savior. Because He said, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Many will say unto me, they're going to say that. They're going to call Him Lord. that would not do and did not want to do and didn't have a heart to even try to do what he said to them. Can you say amen? Someone handed them the 3-ticket to heaven and said, now you can make him Lord. You cannot make him Lord. You're going to heaven anyway. And many people that buy into that will stand before him. And he said, many will say to me in that day, amen, when they face him as judge and not as Savior, they will say, Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in your name. We supported missions. We sent out tracts. We actually went and told people about you. And he said, depart from me, you that what? Work iniquity. I know you not. We don't want to find out on that day. This is the day to make our calling and election sure. Can you say amen? Lord and Savior is the divine pattern. Jesus will not just hand out free tickets to heaven to rebellious people who still don't want him to rule over them. You know what they said about him before they put him on the cross? We will not have this man rule over us. Don't you put King of the Jews up over him as an inscription on that cross. And Pilate said, going to put it up there, going to stay up there. I'm only killing him because you want him dead. I don't find any fault in him. That didn't leave Pilate without guilt. He went along with the people like Aaron did. Can you say amen? Tried to wash his hands, but you can't wash your hands from that blood. I'm going to tell you right now. But listen to me. The issue was he will not rule over us. We do not want him to rule over us. This is a planet in rebellion against God's rule. Kingdom is the rule and the domain of a king. And his kingdom is supposed to come in us. Can you say, man? That's not some mystical place, some fairy tale, a spiritual existence. That is simply the rule of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. In the Lord's Prayer, pattern prayer for us to pray to the Lord. Amen. We begin it with our Father which art in heaven, and then we become submissive to him and say, your kingdom come, your will be done. How many know when you really get saved, his will becomes an issue in your life? What God says is important to you if you're really saved. Why? Because he's Lord and Savior. Amen. He's not Savior.
That's right.
And Lord. If you decide, or to what extent you decide. The Bible is very clear on those issues. You can't serve two masters. Amen. For you will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. But you can't serve them. They won't blend. It's all or nothing. It's Christ and the kingdom of God, or it's the world and the flesh. But you can't serve both simultaneously. Free tickets to heaven preaching says you can, in fact, serve both simultaneously. Amen? Jesus Christ, who's going to be our final judge. All judgment's been committed to the Son. That's why his hair was as wool when John saw him. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. Jesus says that will not work. The easy believism, cheap grace of today says you can have it all. You can have God's kingdom, you can have heaven, and you can have the world and go after the things of the world simultaneously. That is a lie from the pit of hell, hatched by the devil himself. Amen. Can you say amen? What a lie, what a cheat, amen, the devil is trying to tell people, yes, you can have both. You don't have to really, amen, bow to this God, amen. All you have to do is just go down the aisle and say that you believe that he rose from the dead. They'll hand you your free ticket to heaven, and once you get there, that ticket, stick it in your pocket, nothing will ever take it from you. There it is, it's said and done. To what extent you live for God is a personal decision. That's entirely between you and God and nobody else's beeswax. Can you say amen? That is baloney. Amen. Jesus is Lord of everything, or Jesus is not Lord of anything. Can you say amen? I have a problem with my flesh bringing it into subjection, amen, to his will and his lordship. But I do not have a problem with his right to lord over me. How many can agree with that statement tonight? We all have problems bringing our flesh into subjection. Paul said, I beat my body. You're not the only one that has problems with the flesh. Paul said, I buffet my body. And listen to this. I bring it into subjection. Why did he do that? Because Jesus was not his Savior. Jesus was his Lord and Savior. Amen. In the Old Testament, the word was Adonai, which means complete Lord and Master, not only of the universe universally, but my personal Master, my personal Lord. I love people that say, I hope they mean it when they say it, but they talk about Jesus in these terms. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because they got it right. Amen. When they put it in those terms. Amen. True worshipers, Jesus is the Lord of their life. It's impossible to worship God acceptably while rebelling against Him simultaneously. Amen. Nothing we offer. That's why He's telling them, everything I prescribed to you for you to worship me in the old covenant, you're doing. Problem is, I'm not accepting it because something's wrong in your heart and in your obedience. Amen. But to look at the temple service going on, the priests are doing their thing, the people are doing their thing, they're offering the incense, and He said, I'm not smelling it. If it was connected to devotion and obedience, because to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, listen, to give heed is better than the fat of rams. How can you can't substitute praise and worship for obedience. Hello? There's a lot of people that live in sin all week long, go to church and put on a big front on Sunday. They look like some of the most wonderful worshipers in the room. But God said, that they can fool you, but they don't fool me. I don't have to accept what is offered to me. I determine what is acceptable. That's why Jesus said, you've got to do it in spirit. You've got to do it in truth. And God desires truth where? In the inward parts. That means in the attitude, not in just the activities. Not just what we do, it's why we do it. And God knows why I'm preaching tonight. He knows why you're here tonight. He knows if you're going to listen with the heart to obey or if it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Someone said the reason it goes in one ear and out the other is because there's nothing here to stop it. Actually, that was me that said that. I didn't hear that anywhere. I will take responsibility for that. But there is something here and there's something here. If you're truly saved, God can speak to your heart about these things. Can you say amen? Listen to what Amos chapter 5. This is tough stuff. But it's God speaking. I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, this is what he prescribed now. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Now listen to what he says. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. They're still singing the songs of Zion with their hearts not right with God. And he said, I don't want to hear them. I have listened to gospel broadcast that the voice of the singer took precedence over the substance of the song, and the focus came off of God and came directly on the person who is trying to gain attention by their particular way of singing, and it turns me off. I know how God must feel. It just leaves me flat. I'm not interested, amen, in a Christian trying to sound like an entertainer or an opera star. I want them to do their best for Jesus Christ, but they don't have to do it with a velvet suit. Amen. And the spotlight squarely on them, talking about Him. There's something about that irks me. Because I'm thinking, you know, if you get your ego out of the way, you don't have to show off here on this platform. Lead me into worship with you. I want to worship with you. I don't want to just listen to you sing. Even about Him. I want to worship Him. You understand where I'm coming from? I don't want to just see you sing about Him. I want to worship Him. Lead me into worship. This is God's stuff. This is not for entertainment value. This is not for sale. This is not for marketing. This is for God. This is not to build up the singer. This is to lift up the hearts of believers. This is to edify the church and to glorify God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is worship. This is holy. He said, I don't want your offerings. I don't want your incense. And your songs are noise. What happens to tongues even? Even worshipful tongues without love. without being authenticated by the real love of God in our hearts. What happens to tongues? Though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, what does it sound like to God? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. He said, I hate that noise. It's annoying. I don't want to hear it from undedicated hearts. Pastors are so desperate to get people to come and support them so they can appear successful. They will water this thing down and call anything worship. Who says, take away from me the noise of thy songs to his own people's worship service? God said that. Evidently, this thing about worship and truth, God's a stickler for it being authentic. God don't want you to be perfect. He wants you to be real. Can you say, man, He wants it to be real? The world is not looking at us for perfection. It's a good thing we can't show it to them. But they do want us to be real. Am I reading from your Bible? Is this in the book? Did Jesus say this is an imperative? Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vowels. Your instruments don't mean anything either. Mike said with his bad paw here that it's a cat joke you probably wouldn't understand. But Mike said, I'll probably be able to play slow songs. But I noticed this morning the anointing got on him. Amen. And he played some pretty upbeat stuff anyway. And I'm just glad he could play at all. But we're grateful, Mike, for your sacrifice. But we could play a perfect, perfect instrument unto God. But he says, you know, if the heart isn't right before me, I don't want to hear your best effort, because that's not worship. It begins in the heart. Doesn't begin on that instrument. It doesn't begin in a song. It doesn't begin in an offering or a sacrifice. It begins in the heart. And if the whole of you isn't involved in the process, it's not spiritual worship. Spiritual worship is not talking in tongues, because without love, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So it's not Pentecostals don't have a corner on worship because we pray or sing in tongues. Hello? Offer your body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Worship starts with total devotion. Say it with me, total devotion. Say it again, total devotion. Woo, say it again, total devotion. Offer your body a what? A living sacrifice. What? Holy, H-O-L-Y, and acceptable. Everybody say acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. It's only that kind of offering that God accepts. If you're going to walk out of here and do your own thing, nothing you do in here is going to impress God. You might get emotional and shed a tear when we say something about the cross, but if you're going to deny the cross when you walk out of here and compromise your life, it means nothing to God what you sing or say. In fact, He said, I'd rather you didn't do it. I don't want to hear it. And we, without challenging God's people or teaching God's people, we put up a sign that says, worship service. And a lot of people don't even know what worship is. We think we've worshiped if we go somewhere and listen to a quartet sing. Had no encounter with God. Never one time bowed before Him and surrendered our life. That's entertainment. And it's fine. It's good entertainment. It's Christian entertainment. But you're being entertained. Worship isn't for your entertainment. It's for God's honor and for God's glory. Can you say amen? However, when I get into the presence of God worshiping Him, I am mesmerized by Him. Can you say amen? I get lifted up when I lift Him up. But I don't lift Him up to get lifted up. I lift Him up because He's worthy. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in here. But if I lift Him up because He's worthy, I will get lifted up. But even if He didn't manifest Himself, He's still worthy of my worship. And my praise and my adoration and my worship begins with bowing before Him and saying, Adonai, my Lord and Savior. Wow. Offer unto your I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, interpreted in the Greek, which is your spiritual worship. Everybody say your spiritual worship. So this is beginning to explain that word spirit and truth. Can you say amen? Your spiritual worship, it begins with your devotion to God. Not tongues or lack of tongues, or whether you run the aisle or don't, or dance or don't. Amen. It begins with your devotion to Jesus Christ. God said, if you're not devoted in your heart, no emotion you show forth has any meaning. If my wife isn't devoted to me, amen, no emotional attachment is going to keep her true to me. She has to be devoted to me. If I'm not devoted to her, I'm subject to temptation. God wants us to be devoted to Him. Jesus deserves our devotion. Amen. We shouldn't have to use every kind of trick or hook or crook to get people to worship God, to get them to God's house, to get them to give to God's work. We should be devoted enough to Him because of His worthiness. And that is what qualifies worship, is worship. It's the value we place on Jesus in our life that causes our praises to be heard on high. Amen. It's quiet in here. Is it quiet? Just me, or is everybody tired? Take away from me the noise of your songs. Noise! For I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. He said, you get right with me. You begin to judge rightly, and you get right before God, and then offer me the sacrifices. Then burn the incense. Then play the songs. Then sing. I like just the paraphrase. It says, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings or grain offerings. I will not even notice your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice and an endless river of righteous living. Boy, preach righteous. Oh, tell people how to get blessed on Sunday morning and get excited on Sunday. You can preach that all day long, but don't dare, as a prerequisite for true worship, to start preaching righteous living. It really galls some people to go to church and be challenged to live right. Can you say amen? And God said, hey, don't teach them to sing before you teach them to live right, because I ain't listening until they live right. If there's something wrong that they're not living right, there's something wrong in our relationship. And I don't want sin and rebellion to be away in between a relationship of love and joy and fellowship that I want to have with my people. Can you say amen? I want to spread my wings over my people and keep them in the covert of my wings. I want to be God to them so that all the nations know that Israel has a God. Can you say amen? And I have a people. And I want them to be in a place that I will not be ashamed to be called their God. And I will not be ashamed to call them my people. Wow. We're teaching people to worship and don't even teach them to live right. And God said, if you try to worship without living right, forget about it. It means nothing. Wow. Nothing wrong. Woo! Say it again tonight. There's nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel such an anointing tonight. God wants us to not be ashamed to challenge His people to get right with Him. Return unto God. He'll return unto us. The lost will be saved. The sick will be healed. Demons will be dethroned and cast out of lives. Can you say amen? God becomes our Father, our protector, and our provider. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Whew. For what fellowship hath Christ with Belial, and light with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked together, saith God. You're a different people, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that we might show forth the praises of Him that brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. And He said, and now if you do this, I will be a father unto you. You know what that did? My provision, my protection. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Woo! Somebody give Him praise. Having therefore, beloved, these promises from God, let us cleanse ourselves from all. Filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Why? Because God wants to father us. Protect us. Provide for us. Defend us. Stand up for us. Hide us in the covert of His wings. In the time of need, in the time of trouble. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! I want to see a flood of justice and an endless river of righteous living. Wow, righteous living. What an outdated phrase for the 21st century church. Righteous living? Amen. You mean He's going to ask me to live for God? Become a counterculture, become radically committed to Christ. So that when I worship Him on Sunday morning, my life has represented His worth all week long. I've shown His value by following Him instead of them. By knowing that being accepted in Him is more than being accepted by the world. I don't have to please them. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. To fulfill it in the lust thereof, I owe the flesh nothing, and I owe the Christ of my soul everything. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise tonight. Woo! Hallelujah! Wow. First Peter 2:5. Listen quickly as we close. And Hebrews 13:5. Maybe one more. Let's just read these two scriptures. First Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, literally living stones. What did the Bible say about us, literally? You, me. The body of Christ universally, the true church, are a building. A building. We constitute a building for a habitation of God by the Spirit. Can you say amen? As it is written, saith the Lord, I will live in them. I will move in them. They shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be their God. Can you say amen? You are a building fitly framed together for a habitation of God by the Spirit. That means God's going to manifest Himself when we gather together. If we have it in our heart, amen, to truly be righteous people instead of just churchy people and religious people. He's looking for people that will live before Him, amen, in the light of His Lordship out of devotion. Not because He's a divine dictator, but because we love Him. He's a wonderful master. Amen. Said, if I'm a father to Israel, where's my honor? You can't claim my paternal protection and provision without honoring me. You can't offer these substandard sacrifices. Offer them to your governor and see if he will accept them. Don't bring me the halt and the blind. Don't bring me the cow that's about to die and is unprofitable to you anyway. And think that I will accept it and you can honor me. I'm your God. You wouldn't even treat your governor like that. You wouldn't give rancid meat to your governor. Don't offer me the leftovers in your life. Give me your best. And you're going to be blessed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God's desire and design was to bless them. But you can't bless people like that. You can't bless wrong. You can't bless insincerity. You can't bless the unauthentic. You can't bless false religiosity. That's why we need to be challenged from the pulpit and amen. By the book and by the God who wrote it. Amen, I want to be right with God. I need God's blessing. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? I need the Lord to come through. I need His provision and I need His protection. The other night I got bit on the finger by a spider. 3 days later, my finger's double the size, and it's almost as red as that dress right there. So I jump online to see what kind of spider may have bitten me. And I, naturally, people at work say, maybe it's a brown recluse. And, you know, and I said, well, it could have been, something bit me, and it's getting worse instead of better. And I got online, and I went into a website, and it showed a bite on a finger by a brown recluse. And then it showed it was a thumb bite by a brown recluse spider. And they are in Florida, by the way. And then it showed it several days later. And, you know, the first 3 days after the bite, it looked a lot like my finger, my ring finger. I got my ring off so it's swelling could continue to go on up, and I thought, dear God in heaven, I was deeply concerned that if it was a brown recluse, because the thing can rot away. That's the pictures on the internet scare you to God, amen. I began to claim. I said, if I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. If I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. If I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. I found me some scripture to apply to this thing. Can you say, man? Because I saw a guy on there, got bit on the thumb, and then, boy, it eat away the thumb. And then it eat away this part of the hand. About 9 weeks later, you could see the whole finger. The flesh was gone off the finger, nothing left but the bone out here. And this had eaten away. You could see all the bones inside the hand. And I just said, dear Lord in heaven, I thought, my goodness gracious. I told Pamela when I got home from work, I said, give me that insurance card. I'm going to the emergency room. Get this thing. That could have been a brown recluse. If I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. Things can happen in this world. You know, I read a little bit further and said some people get bit by brown recluse and it's no different than a skeeter bite. They don't react to it. Others have this terrible reaction. So everybody's not the same. Well, that's good news. After what I saw on the internet, that's a scary thing. Amen. I need a daddy God is what I'm saying. I mean, that's one of the least things that's happened to me. There's worse things in my life. I need a daddy God. I need a God in heaven that says, I'll be your father. Come to me. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. All this getting right with God stuff is not God trying to make us walk the chalk or draw some line on us and make it tough and strenuous. God is saying, I want to father you. I want to father you. I can't father you if you don't acknowledge me, amen, and honor me. But if you honor me as the Lord of your life, I can father you. I can shepherd you. I can provide for you. I can protect you. I can heal you. I can deliver you. I can answer when you cry. My eyes are on the righteous. That's why there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Somebody give Him praise again in this place. Hallelujah! Ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. By Jesus Christ. We're to pray as priests. We're to worship as priests. We're a generation of kings. Amen. And priests unto God. Yes, we offer spiritual sacrifices. God said, I'll take your song even if it's off key, Ditter. I'm not saying you sing off key or anything, but even if it was. You do? Okay. There was a revelation. I got a revelation. I wonder why she wasn't in the choir. Now I know. Disqualified, threw everybody off, can't sing. Ditter, you could sing off key, every note flat, cackle like a chicken. Amen. Trying to sing Amazing Grace. And do you know something? If your heart's right with God and you're sincere and it's coming from your heart, amen, somebody can put on a velvet costume, sit down at a baby grand piano, sing like an opera singer, but if they're not right in their heart, God said, that's a bunch of noise. But this is a sweet-smelling savor unto me. Somebody give God praise in this room. Can you say amen? God is seeking such. God is seeking such. God is seeking such. To do what? To worship Him and offer spiritual sacrifices unto Him, acceptable unto Him. He's the one that determines. We don't determine what we're going to offer. God prescribes the standard. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. Listen, I want to stop there and tell you something. I have heard this so many times. When people took their old flesh and self-aggrandizement, glorified the flesh in this statement. You may have done it. Don't ever do it again. I really don't feel like praising God. I've had a terrible week. I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to be big. And I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise. In other words, I'm going to sacrifice. It's going to cost me to praise Him. Because see, when I get my eyes off of me like this, it really hurts bad. It cuts me deep. I'm bleeding here, but I'm praising God. I'm sacrificing. No, the sacrifice of praise is not you being big and praising God, even though it's had a bad day or a bad week or a bad year or a bad month. No, the sacrifice of praise is just that. Praise that we offer down here is qualified or disqualified. Amen. As God looks into our heart. And when it is qualified, it is no longer just words and music and songs. Amen. In verbiage, you know what it becomes? It becomes an actual spiritual sacrifice. Acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ, offered by those that He's qualified to offer the sacrifices. Every Christian is a priest unto Him. Wow. By Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of our Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of our Lord. We offer unto you. That's His worth. To you the sacrifices of joy. Yes, we bring that. And we bring it in that door when we walk in, not when we lift our voices. We come in with it and we go out with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be a true worshiper of God. Hallelujah. I want to march to a different beat. I want Him to be my Father. And I want to be proud to say He's my Father. And I want Him to be proud to say that's my son and my daughter. He said, I won't be ashamed to be called your God then. And I won't be ashamed to call you my people. Isn't that a beautiful relationship? Hallelujah. My son told me that he was proud of me. He's never ashamed for people to know who his daddy is. That honors me that he wouldn't be ashamed for people to know I'm his dad. Praise God. God said, I want you to live in such a way that I won't be ashamed to call you my children. And you won't be ashamed to call me your God. Can you say amen? Because I'll bless you. Having these promises, we deal effectively with that old flesh. Why? Because it's worth it to have what He offers us. Nothing wrong with getting right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. True worship is always for God. And I won't go any further tonight because there's a picture of true worship in the incense that was mixed together and the way God prescribed it and the way He said, once you put these ingredients together, you never use it for any purpose but for me. When the strange fire was offered in the temple, they made their own mixture and offered it to God. And in doing that, they rebelled against Him because He said, this is holy. This is for me. This is not for you to decide. It's my decision. You come the prescribed way. You worship the prescribed manner. And it involves not just your activity, but your attitude. That's what qualifies the activity. I've always liked Psalm 50. Because God has rejected the sacrifices of His people. they're offering all these things, bringing him these choice offerings. He's rejecting them wholesale. And they're wondering why he's not listening to prayer, why he's not coming through. Malachi is the same thing. It's about honoring God by obeying him and having a devotion to him. And they're saying, you know, we're offering incense. You don't smell it. You don't receive it. We offer sacrifices. You don't receive it. We pray. You don't answer. And he said, well, if I'm a father, if you want me to father you, protect you, provide for you. Say it with me. Protect and provide for you. Where's my honor? Where's my honor? You bring me the sick. You bring me the leftovers. You bring me what you can do without. He said, you don't do that to your governor. If he was coming to your house, you'd kill the fatted calf. You'd give the best you had because you want to impress him, because you honor him. I'm your God, your creator and deliverer. Your savior, your sustainer. And you're giving me the leftovers. Can't treat me with less respect than you do someone in your society and culture and expect my blessing. What's he saying? He's saying, get it right. I want to father you, but you've got to get it right. He gave them ingredients for what would please him. And he said, once you put these ingredients together, you never change the recipe. And you never use it for anything but me. Worship. True worship is not for entertainment. It's not to sell records. It's not to make singing stars out of Christian singers. True worship is for God and God alone. Somebody give him praise. It's okay. Listen to me. It's okay to be a Christian entertainer, but do not confuse it with worship. Can you say, man, 10,000 people at a concert don't necessarily worship God at all. But when we come together in church, it don't matter if Ditter is singing off key. God says, that's a sweet smelling savor and acceptable sacrifice is being offered. And what happens when God receives the sacrifice? He sends the fire. Fire comes out of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, when people start getting right with God in true revival, that fire begins to come down. Listen, getting right with God is part of truly worshiping Him. And the fire falls. Hallelujah. Amen. God manifests himself and the supernatural occurs. Our English word worship is derived from the Anglo-Saxon word worship, thus declaring the worth of God. Worship is describing worth to God. And notice that only God is worthy of worship. Someone once wrote, I like this to close with, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. Will you stand to your feet tonight? I'm going to read that again. I want you to raise your hand if you can agree with each of these statements. To quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. There's nothing like an encounter with His holiness to cause us to want to be holy. Can you say amen? Amen. To feed the mind with the truth of God. Have you heard God's truth from His Word tonight? Amen. Then you're getting ready to be a true worshiper. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. One thing have I desired, David said, that will I seek after, to inquire at thy temple and behold your beauty. Every time I see God in Jesus Christ, I say, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Can you say, man, you're beautiful, Lord. To open the heart to the love of God and to devote the will to the purpose of God. When God sounds so strict, like in the book of Amos that I read you, it's because He wants to father Israel. Says, if you get this right, I'll be a father to you. You don't have to worry. I'll provide. You don't have to fear. I will protect. Can you say amen? You won't be as helpless and as hopeless as the world, except you go to church and they don't. I'll come through. I'll show up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Honey, that's worth something. Can you say amen? How many are glad you came tonight learning something about true worship? Praise the Lord. Amen. Number four, if you will, let's worship Him before we leave this room tonight. Are you glad again that you came? Amen. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. God moved this morning. Praise God. I don't need aerobics. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's wonderful tonight. He's beautiful tonight. Praise God. Amen. Let's quicken our conscience tonight. Let's open our hearts to His love tonight.